Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, he, this court is now in session. His Honor, Judge Pigmeat Martin Poseidon.
My goodness.
Yeah, he, the court of swings is just about ready to do that thing. I don't want no tears, I don't want no lies. Above all, I don't want no alibis. This judge is hip. And that ain't all. He'll give you time if you're big or small. Fall in line or this court is neat. Peace, brother.
Lord, here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Everybody know that he is the judge.
All right, we've been talking to this guy for a couple of days. Judge Holton has been a friend of the show for many years. Listen, used to call and yell at us when we were doing 6 to 8 all the time.
Of course, everybody loves Judge David Holton, the Honorable Judge Holton. And it was proof last night. Go to my Facebook page. I teased that he was going to be appearing on the show, and you would not believe the amount of comments talking about his integrity, how much people loved him. And the reason we're having him on, we always...
That still do. Love him, not loved. Well, still love him. He's not dead.
I showed pictures of things that he did, and I changed their minds.
Yeah. Well, there are some people doing 10 to 20 that may not love him anymore. But
that's true.
Listen, we love having him on, but imagine this. Dave and I are both dog parents. We pour. That's what Susan and I have. We have Lemmy, and we focus all of our love on this animal. Imagine if you had a dog, and you loved it that much, and you lost that dog. It passed away, but on top of all of that love, it's also responsible for getting you around. It's your seeing eye dog. That's the position that our dear friend Judge Holton is going through right now as we bring him in. Judge, how are you, my friend?
Hello from Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus,
West
Ohio.
Down street. I'm about a mile from the state capitol building, about 5 miles from the campus of Ohio State University, and waiting anxiously at this point, gentlemen, to meet. Dog number 5. I've been I was here 40 years ago, dude, when I was 18. And believe me, I had a lot more hair when I was 18, and it was all pretty dark, okay?
Yep, join the club.
Okay, well, let's talk about what's going on. Obviously, you're blind. You're the first judge of Kentucky to sit on the bench, the first blind judge to sit on the bench of Kentucky. Now, you used the assistance of a seeing eye dog to get around, and your last dog recently passed away. That's got to be devastating. Number one, it's devastating for someone to lose a pet, but then when it's also responsible for getting you around, what's that like? How dark is that, man?
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I've lost 4 dogs now, okay? I got in 1980, I got Simon. He went through college and law school with me. Brennan came along in 91, and he worked for 12 years. He took me through the courthouse through a couple legislative campaigns. Buddy got me on the bench. He was the king of the courthouse, 03. He worked to 03 till 13, and then Rock came along at 13, and I call him the heartthrob of the courthouse. The women all loved all those dogs. But it's very, very... terrible thing to go through. It's one of these emotional things where you think of how that dog has given his life to you, and that's really what he did. He was there to serve. Yeah. You know, I asked people before, these trainers up here, what's it like for these dogs to have this life, to be working every day and not be running through the fields or the woods? And they said, well, look, if the dog didn't want to do it, the dog wouldn't do it.
Wow.
So they must want to do the job, because look, not all dogs that come into this training make it here, okay? They don't all just put on their pilot dog shirt and say, I'm ready to go to work, chief. It is very sad to lose any dog, but especially a guide dog. And people don't understand just how much of a independence factor it is, or the freedom. I couldn't have had the life that I've had, guys, without my dogs. I mean, can you imagine to go to a college campus and be able to do and go where I went, and then, you know, in Lexington at law school, UK, then all the freedom. You know, my dogs and I, we used to run downtown Louisville through the courthouse and all over the business district there, going and coming, and when I was on the bench.
No, it's freedom. I mean, it's
all the freedom.
Yeah, it's freedom. I mean, I just went through this in a smaller scale, a much smaller scale. But I watched my 17-year-old when he got his license at 16. His life changed. He now is free. He's got a car, and he can go do whatever he wants. And his life changed dramatically in on a smaller level like that. But here's my question. You've been going to the same location in Columbus since you were 18. I guess that outfit is really good at what they do, and that's why you keep going back, or are there not other companies that do this?
Now, there are other organizations around the country who train animals to be guide dogs, but my parents found this place in 1980when I needed my first dog, and they just have done such a great job for me. Then why go somewhere else?
Yeah.
This place was founded in 1947, so it's been around a long time. They've put out between 6,000 and 8,000 dogs in that many years, so there have been that many lives changed by this school, and the assistance is great. Now, my last two dogs, they actually brought to Louisville for me, guys. Buddy and Rock, they actually brought to Louisville and worked with me on the streets there and around the courthouse, but because of the virus, they didn't do that this time. So you got to come to us because we don't want our employees out there.
So when you go up, Judge, and you're going to meet your new dog, is there an interview process, or once the dogs are trained, it doesn't matter who the owner is, and you just take which? How does that work?
Okay. Well, look, guys, you know, get your rim shot ready there, Super Dave. It's rather a blind date. Okay.
Okay. There you go, Judge Holden. There you go.
Oh, you're now part of the show, dude.
It's a blind date, but this is a blind date that you don't get to decide whether you're going to wake up the next day with that dog.
I love this guy.
Okay. We're talking. You know, that didn't come out the right way, guys. I'm sorry, okay?
No,
that didn't come out the right way.
You know what went well.
Well, how do they decide then? How does that work?
I'm going to meet him this afternoon, okay? I'm going to meet him this afternoon. I don't know his name. Now, I'm getting a lot of pressure from my mother and my wife and my sister about what to name this dog. And I need to call Coach Stoops and get the big blue wall, because if I go home with this dog not having a name that those women in my life like, I'm going to have trouble when I get back to the Commonwealth.
Well, okay, let's talk about it. We're talking with Judge David Holton. He's the first blind judge to sit on the bench in the state of Kentucky. And you're getting another seeing eye dog, and you're up at this facility. That's all they do. I got to ask you, how long does it take to have the trust in this canine? Because think about this. You're literally putting your life in this canine's hand, or in his hands, paws. But here's the thing: you're putting your life in the paws of this canine. How long does it take to develop this trust that a dog's not going to walk you in traffic, walk you in a situation you don't need to be?
Yeah.
How do you even go about that, Judge?
Well, I would tell you that. Well, first of all, understand that the first year of the dog's life is spent in a home with obedience training with a family, and then at about the age of 12 months, they come here to the school for 6 months worth of training. Now, in 1980, when I was 18, getting my first dog, it took a lot more to trust that dog. His name was Simon, than it did to start to trust Buddy or Rock, because I knew what I was doing and I knew what the dog could do. The first time around, man, it was really a wild ride. But it does take some time, and it gets some getting used to. It's not like just jumping into a new car you bought, and everything, I take it, would probably work about like the last car you had, because you still have some getting used to each other. You have to learn how to read the dog. The dog has to learn how to read you, and it's
I think it would have been easy with Simon. Yeah, with Simon, just do what he says. And
okay,
all right, Dave. All right, now you're, Dave. Okay, now, okay,
Dave,
now,
you got to put $2.
You're in timeout for a minute. Yeah. How much are these? Well, first of all, what have you been doing since your dog passed?
Well, first of all, Rock passed on January 5th, and he had had cancer in October of 18, and my wife and I had the surgery done there in Louisville and surgically removed the cancer, and it bought him 2 years, but it came back real aggressively. There was no more surgery. This time it had to be chemo. So we did 2 rounds of chemo, Tony, and the second round made him really sick, and he never recovered from that, and it was a really hard, hard day on January the 5th. What have I been doing? I've been holding on to my pretty wife when we go places, and then you've seen my wife. You know,
she's a knockout.
That's not a hard thing to do, okay?
Yeah,
so we've been hanging out there, and I do miss my walks with my dogs because I walk them just for exercise.
Yeah.
I remember when I knew Rock had cancer back, guys, and I would take him for a walk every day, and I would always think, is this Rock's last walk?
Oh,
well, unfortunately, that came sooner than I thought it was going to come. But we've been getting by. You know, there's no going to court because of the virus. So, like everybody, my life has changed in the last year with this virus. And really, I haven't had to use a dog a whole lot because, hell, who's been going anywhere? I don't need help getting to my basement with a dog, right?
No kidding.
Just out of curiosity, Judge, is this a very expensive process, and does insurance cover it?
Ooh, yes, good question.
These are privately funded schools. No, so it doesn't matter your level of income, whether you're a millionaire or whether you're on government assistance. These dogs, there's no cost to the new owners because they're funded by churches. People leave money in their estate.
Wow.
You have Lions clubs and other civic organizations. So if anybody, they've never asked me for a dollar for any of my dogs. So if anybody wants to help out, it's Pilot Dogs Incorporated in Columbus, Ohio. And it's been around a long time, and they serve a good breakfast up here, I'm telling you.
Well, okay, so Judge David Holton's our guest, first sitting judge in Kentucky that's blind, and you've recently lost your seeing eye dog. You're up here getting another one. For me, a novice, if I see someone out, they have a seeing eye dog, what's the etiquette? I know you're not supposed to, I guess you're not supposed
to
pet.
I think you should ask before you pet.
Okay.
Of course, you know, me, I think it has a lot to do with the comfort level of the human, the comfort level of the person using the dog, whether or not they want to let the dog be petted. You know, with me, I'm very comfortable in my surroundings, and it's a great way to meet people. Me being somebody who needs votes in my life, I've never turned down somebody wanting to pet my dog. The dog probably got me more votes than I ever got my own. But I would suggest that you always ask first before, you know, can I pet your dog? And that's, that's how I always
do. Does the dog know that you're blind and your wife's not?
You know, you could ask me, Andrea. You could ask my wife, and she would tell you that Rock soon learned when she was around he didn't have to be quite as astute as he had to be when it was just my big dumb ass rolling around with
him. Judge,
I know he just, now she swears that he would let down his guard and his ears wouldn't be up quite as high when she was around because he knew that she had his back and my back too.
Oh, it's Judge, listen, they call him man's best friend for a reason because, listen, they really are. And it's devastating any time that we lose a pet. So we're so sorry for you. And we're grateful that you're back up at Pilot Dogs and you're soon going to have a new best friend, companion,
Judge. Good job.
And a new seeing eye dog.
Congratulations.
We want to keep in touch with you periodically and find out how you're doing, who the dog is, and kind of follow the story if you don't mind.
We've been tweeting out some things. You can go to at Judge Holton on Twitter.
Okay.
Capital J, capital H. So we've got some photographs tweeted out. And there's a website link to that, too. You can see some things. All right, so I've just now been told I need to go. Apparently I'm getting ready to either go to the to the gas chamber or to meet my dog. I got to go.
Okay. All right.
Probably going to meet your dog.
See you, Judge Holton.
See you, bud.
Ah, what a guy there. Judge David Holton. Great guy. If you've ever had a chance to meet him and talk to him in person, wonderful guy. Hey, listen, Hightower Men's Clinic. Guys, if you have ED, drop the ego. Get the problem fixed. Don't treat the symptoms. Here's what I'm talking about. Other clinics, they just write a prescription for a little blue pills, for some powders, potions, even needles. Here's the facts. If you have ED, chances are you don't have a chemical deficiency. More than likely, you have restricted blood flow. Take care of that. Do it with Hightower Men's. They use acoustic sound wave technology. And here's the great news. It's painless. It's non-invasive. And you don't have to take time off for work. Go to HightowerMens.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out some of the testimonials by some of the patients. You're going to be amazed. They're working miracles. Go to HightowerMens.com.
All right, short break. We'll come back. We're going to talk to the Mulligan ladies at the around the bottom of the hour talking about kidney donation. They have a plan that they're going to put in place here, so listen for that. Coming up next on the News Radio 840 WHAS. Keep it where you got it.
Judge, you want a pig meat, sir. Don't you remember me?
No, who are you, boy?
Well, I'm the fella that introduced you to your wife.
To my wife?
Yeah.
Life, you son of a gun, you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We are not kidding. See, we are your kidneys. The upper abdominal is where we will be. The right and left kidneys do all sorts of cool things you'll see. Please pay close attention. This lesson is free. One fact about your kidneys is they filter all your blood so free.
All right, we're talking kidneys again on the show, and it's been quite a time since Leanne and Aaron have been here from Mulligan's. Leanne, how long has it been? It's been, I guess, and been a year, has it?
We've been over a year since we've been in here.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I just realized when I got dressed this morning, I was so excited. I bought new shoes last August, and I'm wearing them today. I do have everything in my pajamas with a nice top on and a little video screen at home.
Okay, for everybody that's just tuning in and thinking, who is Mulligan's? What do Mulligan's do? Leanne, how did this all start? Where are we at?
It all started 10 years ago when my husband was diagnosed with end-stage renal failure out of nowhere. It was a very hard journey to walk, but I found out that living donors are the best way to go. I didn't realize you can live with one kidney. So in the last 8 years, we started this foundation and knew we had to help other people. And actually, we've had quite a bit of luck. Some of our people have received deceased donors. And, you know, absolutely, you take one, but there's not going to be enough deceased donors to go around. So I've been brainstorming. I've had a lot of time the last year. And actually got the idea from a lady by the name of Pat Hamm. She runs CACI. It's Kidney Health Alliance of Kentucky. And in 2017, they had a motto that they knew they weren't going to reach, but go for it. You might. 717. They were determined the wait list in Kentucky was 700 people waiting for a kidney.
Uh-huh.
They were going to find 700 living kidney donors in 2017
right.
to try to eradicate the list. Well, after two more years, and I thought, well, you know, we can – let's go. Let's go for it. Let's take to the media because – Erin, that we're going to introduce in a minute, she's a living kidney donor that gave a kidney to a stranger. I know in my heart there's now 900 people on the list in Kentucky. There's 900 people in Kentucky like this woman that if they just know that, I mean, they'll, you know, just think about it. That's all I want. So we are launching, we call it hashtag DonateLife900. If you want to follow it with
that
hashtag.
Say it again.
Hashtag DonateLife900.
Okay.
And what it is we're going to find 900 people. We're spreading the word. If anybody even feels the calling just to talk about it. At the end, I want you to give my phone number and my email address because we now have a large enough organization that there's enough people that we will talk, you know, to anybody. No one will know. We follow HIPAA. So, you know, just inquire about it. It's a lot easier than you think it is. Blood doesn't matter. They have come so far with science that, you know, of course, you know, blood is a factor, but the things that they've come
blood
up with
type.
To do, blood type, yes,
yeah.
Not blood. Blood type is not, you know, because there's ways that they can do things to make it work and
right.
to swap or whatever. And I don't want to confuse people, but we just need people that are willing to look into it. I want 900 people this year if I can find them.
Yes, because it's awful to live with. And trying to do that process every week and trying
to. It's miserable, and it's more than every week. Some of our patients are doing it 12 hours a day, every day. They sleep hooked up to a machine. And, you know, my husband outran dialysis. We were able to find, I know you know my husband, we were told by the Mayo Clinic we had a year before he'd need dialysis and go find him a kidney. And, of course, he told me I wasn't allowed to tell anybody, but I took to social media, the TV, everywhere I could, and. He was,
well, that's how this whole thing starts. Mulligan
started right.
like a, and I used to call it a phone tree.
It kind of is.
Of mulligan or donating for kidneys, and that's it's kind of grown beyond that, obviously.
Oh.
And how many have you helped match since the beginning of Mulligan's?
We just did 70 on Friday. I mean, it just never would I have dreamed this.
I mean,
never.
That's unbelievable.
Never
70
would
lives.
Have
now,
this.
Two of them happen to be connected because of our show.
Three.
Three. I'm sorry. Three. Here we go. Three.
You all saved three lives.
Yeah. So Aaron was part of that. Aaron would come on the show. And we talk about what you did to give your kidney and how it's not easy. I mean, you're donating a kidney, but it's easier than you think, Aaron, right?
Absolutely. You know, honestly, it's so rewarding for the donor. You know, everyone thinks about what you're doing to help somebody else, but it's so rewarding to be a donor and to save somebody's life that it kind of eclipses the pain that you go through because it is a surgery. It's an invasive surgery. But, man, to come out of it and to wake up and to realize that you just got to save a life makes it 100% worth it.
And then you got to meet that guy, right?
I did, yeah. So I donated to a complete stranger. I was what is called an altruistic kidney donor. And basically I stepped forward and said, like, I had tried to donate my kidney to someone else and he found another match, actually, that was better. But I had already gone through all the testing and had been approved to be a donor. And I said, hey, you know what?
You stuck with the plan.
Yeah, find somebody else who needs it. This is great. So what I did was I donated to a stranger, to a man that I didn't meet until 6 months after the fact. A wonderful man. His name is Robin Hinton. And Robin, if you're listening, hey. and so I donated to Robin. And Robin had a close personal friend who had wanted to donate to him, but she was not a match. So we did what's called a kidney swap. And so I donated to Robin. And then his friend, Amy, who had wanted to help him but wasn't a match, then donated to another person in need. And so it became a chain.
Right.
So what started with me giving my kidney away turned into multiple lives being saved. And this is happening all over the country. And so that's why Leanne said, if you don't have the right blood type for somebody that you know that needs a kidney donation, it doesn't really matter because you can still see if you're eligible to be a kidney donor and then be involved in a kidney swap that saves multiple lives. I've heard of chains that are up to like 30 something people that stretch all the way across the country. And so if you feel the call to want to help, reach out.
When did this switch from trying to find obviously organ donors that were passed to living donors? When did that philosophy of, hey, maybe we should switch while we do this thing, when did that start?
It's been going on for a long time, a lot longer than what we know.
Right.
It was a lot more invasive of the surgery.
Right.
And it was a lot harder to find a match back then. I mean,
okay.
You know, science takes us a lot further.
Science has gotten us easier.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. But, I mean, they used to have to, from what I understand, remove a rib from the recipient and put it back after, or not remove it, but move
it. But not anymore.
But not anymore. It's, it's done laparoscopically. Erin can tell you more. She was standing.
Well, Erin rides horses.
Yeah. I do.
You do.
Yeah.
You're a horse person.
Yep.
Okay. And so you were, how fast were you back on a horse after you donated a kidney?
Well, Leanne's laughing. I was not supposed to get back on a horse for 3 months after donating a kidney. However, I was about a month and a half out from my kidney donation and had to travel to Dubai for work. And I actually sent a picture of myself on the back of a camel.
Standing
on the back of a camel to my transplant surgeon. He was not amused. But it's not like I was galloping around the desert. It was
she sends it to me
ride.
From how many miles away, and I'm like, she's on a camel.
I mean, you do have to take it easy. But to be honest with you, like after I had my surgery, I was walking around the floor of the hospital within, I don't know, a couple hours. And I went home from the hospital 4 days later, went back to work within a week. And, yeah, you have some limitations. You can't lift anything heavy. But other than that, it doesn't
Since
take
then,
long.
No. I mean, there's no limitations. You're living
normal
life.
After that,
you're drinking and eating whatever you want, and you're fine.
Yes.
Wearing a
yes,
little itty-bitty bikini, and you cannot tell.
I don't
I have a tiny scar. I have a tiny little scar, and that's And I'm proud of that scar. I mean, even if it showed, I am proud of that thing. That's a scar that I am proud of.
How old were you when you donated?
I was, let's see, I'm 45 now, so I was 42.
So age isn't a deal here.
It isn't. And, you know, if you get up there in age, of course, I have had donors that were in their 60s. That's possible. I haven't had any in their 70s. That's not to say that there aren't some. Mm-hmm. But really more what they want is anybody that's healthy in between the ages of 18 to 50 would be ideal. But if you're older than that, hey, we can do it pretty easily. I mean,
and they do
not
a very
me.
Super thorough physical.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that you're healthy enough because they don't want to put the donor at risk. So basically you get tested. You go through a whole battery of tests to make sure that you're going to be a good donor. And so you're getting the world's greatest physical. And then before they ever even approve you to do
and
this.
And it's not costing you anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's not costing you anything. And so that really, you know, to reach out to see if you're a good possibility as a donor, you're not risking anything at that point.
Yeah.
No.
So you're not just you the bottom line is you would not just do this again. You're so proud that you did this. You're happy you did this.
I would do this again tomorrow. Yeah, I'm obviously I'm proud of it because I'm still super active as far as being a donor advocate. I can't think of anything else that can give you that same kind of feeling as knowing that you were able to save somebody's life. And I think there are a lot of other people out there that are willing to do this. I really do. I think that people just don't realize it's a possibility or they think, oh, that's too hard. And so a lot of us go through life and we hear some story on social media about somebody who's suffering and we think, oh gosh, I wish I could help. And then we go about our day. And I guess like in my case, my mindset has always been kind of like, not I wish I could help, but how can I help?
Mm-hmm.
And so in this case, I was able to help and I encourage other people to try.
So how do we get this? I know our shows, again, we've helped sort of connect three. And this is to your point, Erin, where she said there are more people out there that are willing to help. They just got to get the word out.
And they don't know when that we're not.
Right. We did those interviews and each time someone was calling, like the phones would light up and somebody goes, you know what? I'm going to do this. Turned out there was a really weird connection between a relative that didn't know the person that was talking on the radio was their uncle and then ended up donating not to him but someone else, but exactly to your story, to where that sort of just matched.
The kidney swap.
Paired
donation is what they actually call it.
It's amazing. So let's circle back. Somebody's listening now and going, you know what? 2020 sucked. I want to be able to give back. Yeah. I want to do something nice. I want to get back on the right of the ledger there. How do they get a hold of you? How do they do all this?
We have decided that we are going to spread it. We've got enough of a volunteer. We're all, you know, we volunteer. We don't get paid for this. But we're ready to take the calls, and I want people to call. I'm going to give my number, 502-544-2334. That is my personal number, but it's also Mulligan's Living Kidney Donor's number. And also I'm going to give my personal email. It's LASAYLOR, the number 1@gmail.com. If you are interested in just inquiring about saving somebody's life, please call that number and one of us will get back with you. We won't tell anybody you called, but we'll give you the information you need and forward you on to.
And then, of course, the Facebook page.
Oh, yes. We don't have a website because we really work more off of Facebook. Social media is such a great outlet. But it's Mulligan's Living Kidney Donors on Facebook.
And Erin, you have since we were doing all this, you have moved to Texas?
Yes.
And you got married.
I moved to Texas, got married, acquired 3 stepkids, and became a military wife. Yeah, I've been busy.
That's no change at all.
No.
Single, going to Dubai, working with $1 million horses. I got married, moved to Texas. I'm a military wife and have three stepkids. That's not big.
And I only have one kidney now because I saved a life.
That too, but I still have horses. Yeah, some major changes have happened along the way. But
well, and you married such a slacker.
Oh, yeah. You know, my husband's a fighter pilot. I can't call him a slacker, but he's a pretty good guy.
That's why I'm saying. Yeah,
he's a winner.
It's like, really? Yeah. Good things happen to good people when do good things.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, and you're smiling so much more than not that you were grumpy before.
No.
But you were smiling ever since you walked into the building like an hour ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got no complaints. No complaints at all. And he's a big fan of what we're doing, too.
I bet.
Even my kids, I've even heard my kids tell other people about the living kidney donor thing. Mm-hmm. I've heard them say, well, Miss Erin gave her kidney to somebody. And actually, their mom only has one kidney. She was born with only one.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
she, too, is willing
unique.
To spread the word.
Yeah, sure. Oh, great. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy how all these kidney issues have kind of fallen in Erin and I mean, how weird is that, the mother of those children? So, you know, there's a lot that kidney failure is terminal.
Yeah.
There is nothing that can cure it right now. Dialysis is a nightmare to go through, but it is some way to keep you alive for however long, probably 5 to 10 years is the expected. Kidney transplant.
Well, it's like God gave you two.
They did. You don't need but one.
Yeah.
My husband will be 10 years, October the 11th. He's fine. It should last for at least 20 years, but I've actually had patients that are 30 years on a living donor kidney.
Well, how pissed is Mike that we don't have our fish fries again this year?
Mike's pissed at all fish fry stuff right now. Mike's a transplant patient stuck on a farm.
Mike's like me. We work the fish fries, all right? We're there making sure it all happens for Margaret Mary. Holy Trinities. That's right. That's right. This is what we do, damn it. We were so pissed. But ladies, man, you guys are going to make the tour now. Look for them on TV. They're going to Wave 3, and I don't know where else you're going to stop.
Well, we're taking it national once we get Kentucky.
Okay. I love it. All right, man. Back after this. Keep it where you got it. You're listening to The Tony and Dwight Show on News Radio 840 WHAN.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.